Last week, if you weren't here, you can hear it on the podcast. I believe, is a real word in season for a lot of Christians and non-Christians, for people who believe and don't believe. God really brought us a word on depression and how to beat it, how to overcome depression. And really, last week is the forerunner to this week. So if you were here last week, this is kind of part two. If you weren't, you can catch up on last week, but I still believe you're going to be blessed by hearing part two this morning. And before I really launch into the word, is anybody getting a lot of feedback? Because I am. A little bit of feedback, Si, if you could adjust something so that I'm not getting repeat. There's a few people down here that are. That's it. Thank you. And let's turn to Proverbs chapter 12. We started with this last week, this scripture. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. And verse 25 says, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Or anxiety in the heart causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. And this is really the cause of anxiety. The thing that causes depression is anxiety, that actually produces depression in our lives. But it's not just being worried about something for a day, but it's actually allowing anxiety and worry to penetrate into your heart so that you can't see a way forward. And we have the solution here. Dr. Jesus has given us the solution in his word. A good word makes it glad. Now, you may be sitting here today and say, I don't really need to listen to this word because I'm extremely happy currently. I've got no worries and I'm overtly joyful. In fact, so joyful, nobody in the room could stand being anywhere near me. But I would say to you, well, maybe you need to listen to the word of God so you can help somebody else. Because we're not just here for ourselves, but we're here to make disciples who know the ways of God and we can teach them how to come out of depression and into gladness or into joy. We also last week saw two pictures, and the first picture was of a barren tree. And how our lives, if we are not trusting the Lord and we're anxious and stressed about life, we're like a tree that is unable to bear fruit, to flourish. We are weak, unstable, insecure, emotionally all over the place, mentally all over the place, unhappy, withered, dry, and fruitless. Now, that's not the kind of person you or I really would aspire to be like, is it? And Jeremiah kind of confirms this in the scriptures. It says a person who trusts themselves and not the Lord will be weighed down with anxiety, will be living in a barren land, and will not be able to bear fruit. The second tree is a fruitful tree, and that's what I believe Jesus came to make us. He came to give us life, and life in all its fullness, abundant life. And he didn't come to make us a miserable, depressed bunch of people. The followers of Jesus were not known for misery. Jesus wasn't, and we're here to reflect him. He was anointed with the oil of joy. He was always more joyful than anyone else around him. And I believe that if we learn how to live our lives free from anxiety, trusting in the Lord, then we will be strong. We'll be stable and secure emotionally. Our emotions won't go up and down with our circumstances. They won't change because we're all over the place with what they're thinking and what's happening. But actually, we'll be strong, stable, secure, happy. I believe that's the will of God for every Christian, even in tough times. even in difficult times, to be so joyful, happy, flourishing and fruitful, not sad and depressed. And I believe we need to be looking at our lives with this viewpoint of something good in our future. We've got a lot of good to look forward to in Jesus Christ. He is the one who gives us a blessed life. He has come to give us a blessed life. We are to live completely blessed by Jesus so that others will be blessed through our lives. So Proverbs tells us about this good word, and I really want to speak about how a good word can make you glad. And sometimes we look at our lives and we would say, actually, I'd rather have a change of circumstances to make me glad. I'd rather win the lottery. That would make me glad. I'd rather everything that I was going through at the moment would stop. That would make me glad. But Jesus always starts, when he's going to do something, he starts with his word. Before he ever does something, he gives his word. A good word. It's always a good word. Jesus said, repent and believe the good news. Change the way you think and believe the good news. And so Jesus starts the transformation in us with his good word. And that is the beginning of the change that will bring about a happy, stable, flourishing, fruitful life. It all begins with a good word. And your future is always going to be tied up with a good word from God. It's linked to a good word from God. God's promises. Peter tells us that in Christ, we have all been qualified for every promise you will read in Scripture, Old Testament and New. There are hundreds of good words written down in God's Word. And because you have received Jesus, you qualify for every good word. All the promises of God are yes and so be it in Christ Jesus. Amen. And his word has the power to produce a blessed life. Because whatever God does, he starts with a word, he speaks his word, and that word has power to come into being in your life. It has power to produce. So if you need anything in your life, you need to see a circumstantial change, a relational change, a job change. If you need to see fruit for the glory of Jesus through your life, it starts with a promise. It starts with a word from God, which is already written down. We don't go and make them up. It's already made up. It's already written in the Scripture. Now, God's promises will always give us something to look forward to. Will always give us hope for the future. Promises create hope for your future. And that's why we are going to be talking today about having hope for the future. Because a good word is going to make you glad today, because you've got hope for your future. But it all starts with God's word. Not the experience of change, but the seed, as Jesus calls his word, the word of God that lives and is powerful to produce what he says it will do. Even if we go through hard times, you see, I believe like a tree, we can go through seasons where we're not seeing everything happening. But a tree doesn't live by seasons, it lives by what it's taking in. And as it draws in the life, it grows to become everything it was created to be. And I believe there is power in God's word for us to become everything that Jesus wants us to be. To live in hope, currently, for every season in life, no matter what. Paul even said something, and I believe it's relevant to every Christian. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, heaven's better. Can I just say that again? In your last breath, you're going to go to better. It's going to get better. You've got a great future to look forward to. In Christ. Heaven is better. For me to live is Christ, which is already blessed. But to die is actually a plus. What an attitude of hope. So when I go, I'm going like this. We all must realize that there is a hope held in heaven for us in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful Jesus. Heaven is better. Romans 15. Let's look at the scripture. I think I've got it up on the screen, but you can read it if you like in your own Bibles. Now, I've been praying this for you. When I've been preparing this message, I've prayed this for you. May the God of hope. God doesn't look around, get depressed, distressed, concerned, worried, stressed out. Oh no, what am I going to do? He's the God of hope. He has a certain expectation of a good outcome. The God of hope, he always, always has hope. Love hopes all things, believes all things. God is love. And love hopes all things. So the God of hope, may he fill you personally with all joy and peace, may he. As you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope. Say to your neighbor, overflow with hope. That's the will of God for you. Go and tell them that's God's will for you. You overflow with hope. By not your own emotional ability to create hope. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God himself, who lives in you. A supernatural hope. This is what God wants. This is what Jesus lived. And he wants us to all live in this overflowing hope in our daily lives. Isn't that a wonderful picture for your future and for your present? Every day, every season, every year, every birthday, another year of hope. Anybody? Anybody want to... I don't just want a sermon, I want to live this. Do you? I want to live this. And I'd love you to be listening to this with an attitude, I want this. I want to live this. I don't just want to hear a message, I want to live this life. Amen. The change is the way you hear what you're hearing. This is what God wants for us. Now, we go to Genesis. We read a story about a man called Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. And Genesis chapter 12 is really, I believe, is quite key for us to understand what it means to follow Jesus, to be followers of Jesus in our time. God spoke to Abraham, and before God does anything, he speaks to us. Okay, so we need a good word. And there's going to be a good word come to Abraham. If we read this, Genesis 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. Does anybody think that's a good word? Does anybody think Abraham received a good word? I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. What happens before you become a blessing? What does Jesus give us first? Abundant life, so that we can be a blessing. He blesses us with everything in Christ so that we can be a blessing. Okay? So abundance is God's plan. Blessing is God's plan for you. God bringing blessing into your life. As you follow me, God was saying to Abraham, as you go and leave behind the things that I'm asking you to, even the people I'm asking you to, because some of us, we need to realize to follow Jesus, we can't follow everybody else. We've got to be out there for him. But as we do follow Jesus, he has given us a good word. I will bless you. This promise is yes and amen for every Christian. We've already said that, haven't we? This promise is yours. Just wake somebody up and say, this is for you. This is for you. Imagine Abraham sharing this with Sarah, his wife. I cannot imagine him sharing it like this. Guess what, Sarah? We've got to leave. We've got to obey God. Which, you know, you're blessed if you obey him, because this is all about obedience. But I can't imagine him being so down about blessing. Can you? Can you imagine him being depressed with this word? I think this is what you call a good word making him glad. So I think he might have gone to his wife and said, Sarah, do you know what? Guess what? I've heard God. And what God said was, he's going to bless. If we go and follow him, if we do what Jesus says, this is what it means in today's world, in our lives, if we do the word of God, do what Jesus says, he will bless us. Pack your stuff. We're on the move. Sarah would have said, because she believed the good word too, she wouldn't have fought. She didn't fight him. They went. She must have received from that same word, like we are receiving from that word today. Amen, because it's all ours in Christ. I will bless, thanks God, let's go. Right then. Come on, church. And you know, we get so stuck into the what if, why. We get stuck in the, oh, look at what I left behind. Are you joking? There's more blessing there than there ever was there. Amen. Don't become like Lot's wife looking back. What happened to her? She got turned into a pillar of salt. Don't look back. Do not look back. Tell somebody next to you. Don't look back. There's blessing in your future. Amen. Sarah, this is going to be good. There's something really good in our future. Let's go. Let's follow. Let's go with God. There's a hope for your future. Yes, it is obedience to Jesus. But I can only see, even when we are paying a price to follow Jesus, and yes, we do have to take up our cross and follow Jesus, there are sacrifices to following Jesus. However, the gain, he who loses his life will find it in Christ. Now, I think, actually, we need to retrain ourselves on how we receive the Word of God. Because I think sometimes we receive it slightly through a negative view. And we think, actually, maybe that's for everybody else, but it doesn't mean me. And I'd like to help everybody listening this morning on how to receive a good word from God. Is that okay? Yes. So that it actually benefits you. Yes. Because this word is the same word for all of us. But it does matter how you hear it. It matters how you receive it. And we're going to look at how Abraham must have received the word from the instructions we read in 1 Thessalonians. Just turn, if you've got your Bible there, 1 Thessalonians. How you doing? A good word was going to make you glad today.
Amen.
Amen. To live in hope. A good word. Power to live in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Supernatural. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is. The word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. When you heard of the word of God, you didn't receive it as if it was from a human being. You received it as it actually is, the word of God, which works, another translation says, effectively in you who believe. So, Abraham could have heard God say, I will bless you, you will be a blessing, and received that wrong. How? Because it matters. He could have said, well, we'll wait and see. I need a sign. I need proof, Lord, before I believe that. But Abraham didn't. He just actually welcomed the word of God. He just went, I'll take that. Thank you. I'll take that. Thank you. Every promise you read, you should be saying, I'll take that. Thank you. Hello? You read something good in the good word of God, I'll take that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
Even in your old age, you're going to flourish and bear fruit. I'll take that. Thank you.
Yes.
With long life, I will satisfy you. I'll take that. Thank you.
Yes.
Beloved, I'll pray you prosper in all things. I'll take that. Thank you. He didn't assess it or logic it or reason it or wonder how he was going to do it. He just accepted God had said it, he would do it. I'll take it. He welcomed the word of God as it is, a word from God. And it worked. The word of God will always work in the right conditions. And what does Abraham teach us about the right condition? He actually acted on the word as if it was true. For him, it was his future was sorted. It was a done deal. God had said it, that's it. My future is so full of blessing. God has said it, that's it. It was a done deal to him. It worked in him because he believed. And we know, don't we? Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, it explains to us what believe really means, what faith means. Faith is being sure sure of what we hope for. There's hope included. But it's not the lottery mentality hope. If you buy a lottery ticket, that lottery mentality is maybe one day my ship's coming in. Maybe there's a chance my number's going to come up and I'm going to win the lottery. A Christian doesn't live by chance. A Christian lives by faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. What was Abraham hoping for? I will bless you and you will be a blessing. That was the hope for his future. Come on, church. This is the hope for our future. This is in our future. But it worked in his life, because it doesn't work in every Christian's life if you don't meet the condition of it working. It worked in all who believed. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we don't see. Why could Abraham believe? Well, first of all, it's a word from God, not man. And man changes his word. But God never changes his word. And no word will return empty. Every word he says will come to pass. But the question is, do you believe what God has promised? Because it's according to your faith that it will be done. Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done. The blessing in your future is according to your faith, because we live by faith, so that it's not human effort that anyone can boast, but we can say, that was God. That was God. Look at what God did. I didn't do it, but he did it. All I did was believe. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Another translation says, faith is like the title deed. And if you own a car or you own a house, you'll have title deeds. And they kind of give you the weight or the value of what you have bought. If you try selling a car that doesn't have any kind of documents, it's nicked, probably, and it's not of no value. But the word actually is the deed. The title deed. The promise is the title deed. Yes. It's the document. It is written. Yes. Come on, church. It is written. It's in the deeds. And faith trusts on the basis of who God is and what he has said, not what I'm making up. Okay? I'm sure some of you have done this before. I'm sure everybody in the room has booked a holiday. Has anybody booked a holiday? Okay. And I've booked ahead of time because I'm a planner. I don't like lastminute.com. I like to dream and think of myself. Down the line, I've got something good in my future. It's booked. So if you think at Christmas I'm going away, it's booked. And I booked it in March. Okay? And it became mine. The email came in confirming it, the reference. I've got it. Paid for. It's mine. My holiday is in the future. I haven't lived it. But if you ask me, have you got a holiday? Well, I'm not sure. No, I'm just really not sure if it's going to happen. I've actually got a holiday coming. Yeah? Because I have it. I haven't lived it yet, but I'm gonna. And then afterwards I'll tell you what it was like. But I have a holiday coming. And this is how Abraham lived. I have blessing coming. I have fruitfulness coming. Hello? Had he lived in it yet? Anybody? He didn't live in it yet. That's what faith is. Otherwise, you don't need faith. If you're living in it, you don't need faith. Faith is unseen. Sure of what you hope for. Certain. I'm going on holiday. Certain of what we do don't yet see. What a blessing. Abraham. He believed. He had the title deed, which is the word of God. He says, that's it. That's the proof I need. It is written. God has said it. That's it. And he welcomed it and accepted it and acted and spoke as if it was so. See, we have to live like farmers. We are not to live like those who are trying to win the lottery. Hello? We're not trying to get God to do anything. He's already done it. He's already released the yes and amen to every promise you will ever read into your account. You just have to learn to access it. It's all by grace. What's that? Unearned. Freely given. How does it come into your possession? Through faith. Are you okay this morning?
Yes.
Yes. By grace, unearned. Blessing. By grace, unearned. Healing. By grace, unearned. Relational miracles. By grace, unearned. Your children taught by the Lord. By grace, unearned. The fruit of your life. By grace, unearned. Through faith. Which is why it matters how we receive the promise. We need to be like farmers. He doesn't leave the harvest to chance. Does he? He doesn't have a bag of seeds. I imagine my Bible's a bag of seed. Brings it to church every Sunday. In fact, imagine him going out to watch his field, and he goes out and he goes, I've got a bag of seed. Every promise is mine. But if he doesn't sow it, it'll stay in the bag. And it won't grow. And it won't produce. And so we have to think like a farmer. I've got seed. I can sow this into my heart. I can welcome the word of God. Take it personally for me and say, thank you, Lord. I'll take that. I know I don't deserve it. It's okay. Jesus died for the undeserving sinners. We qualify purely because of his grace. Which is why you've got some great things in your future. If you believe and accept the word of God in the same way that Abraham accepted, like a farmer. When a farmer sows seed, he doesn't talk about his field as being barren. When he puts the seed in the ground, he says, I've got a field of barley. Well, you walk by that field, you wonder, the guy, Mr. Farmer, I can't see any barley. Well, no, but it's there. It's in there. It's already planted. I'm not worried about what's coming because it's already sorted. You don't have to worry about your future if you have sorted it with a good word. Hello? Because God is going to watch over that word to perform it. And if you've got any needs, get a seed. Get the word of God, a promise, and sow it, and then you'll sort your future. You need something in your life. Right, I've got a bag of seed, let me pick one. Because they're all, yes. I'm not making up the goodness of God, it's so good. Sounds like I am. But it's that good. And yet, you know, we can be a bit lazy with sowing. Can't be bothered. Well, let me tell you, for lazy Christians, there's Google. You can Google the promises of God and find a whole list with Bible references. Is that all right? Google on promises for finances, promises for family, promises for our nation, promises for the church. Google it. If you can't, you would say that. You get sowing, my girl. Sow, and you will reap. Sow, and you will. Don't just get an app. Get the word in your heart. Because the app doesn't do you any good, nor does just knowing about the promise. It's sowing it. It's believing it that will change everything in your future. And Abraham had to learn how to live in hope before he saw the promise happen. And I believe from the point of sowing the seed or believing what God said to the point of harvest, Abraham learned how to live a hope-filled life until Isaac was in his arms. So Isaac didn't bring him hope. The word brought him hope. Amen. So, Isaac had to come to pass because Abraham believed. It worked effectively in his life because he believed. Faith is a big word. Christians who like to live out of their brain really struggle with this. But don't, because it's the only way that pleases God. Let your brain submit to the ways of God and say, Lord, if this is your way, I'm going to take it. Because as I want to live in the abundant goodness and blessing of the Lord, so that I can show the abundant goodness and blessing of the Lord to many, many people. Amen. Going to finish with this in Romans 4. Let's just look at how Abraham stayed in hope all those years. It was 25 years before his harvest came. Hey, you and I don't like a year waiting. Can we be really honest? When do we want the promise to happen? Now, Lord. Don't we? I'm sure if a farmer could plant his seed and go, now, Lord, get his crop, it'd be like every week he'd have a massive harvest. Well, sometimes it's through faith and patience you inherit the promises. And Scripture tells us to imitate those who through faith and patience we inherit the promise. But I need to know, don't you, how to live in hope in the years where I'm not seeing it. Is that all right to be so real? I need to know, because I don't want to live depressed and miserable. When I've got no sign of what God has said yet, I want to live in hope no matter what. Not hope I'll win the lottery by chance, but a sure and certain hope of a great outcome in my future. And in Romans chapter 4, we read here, of how Abraham kept his hope alive. Verse 18 of Romans chapter 4. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. And this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. He didn't waver at the promise, the good word. He didn't do the thing that a lot of us are tempted to do. Plant a promise. When we don't see it, pull it up, analyze it, and then have another go. A plant never grows like that. We know that seed grows when it's planted and left in those good conditions. And so Abraham, against all hope. You see, Isaac was a long time coming. And naturally speaking, the hope drained naturally away, natural hope. But hope that came from the promise just kept going like this. Because when you actually lose natural hope that you can do something, at that point, it's like the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit's hope comes in, and you suddenly are launched into the God kind of hope. Because it's based on believing a promise alone. Because you can't trust anything about you or your life that could bring something to pass. That's the happiest day to get to, when you can't do it. When you stop trying. When you stop trying to make it happen. Where you give up and say, well, God said it, I believe it. And as you do, supernatural hope starts to fill your life. So against all natural hope, in hope, Abraham trusted the good word, the promise. Our hope is based on God and his word alone. That's it. You might not see anything, any evidence at all. But if you've got a promise and you believe it, your future looks good. Just like my holiday. I have a good future. Because I believe, I totally believe, you know. I've lived years following the Lord. I gave up a house, a career, finances, marriage, kids, everything to follow Jesus. And in those early years, I didn't hear this kind of teaching. Because all I knew was obedience. I didn't know the obedience that comes by faith in the blessing of God. But as I have been taught and listened and read the Word of God, it has changed me to a blessing outlook. And I believe that God wants me blessed. And because I believe it, I will receive it. In my future. It's not a vain hope. It's because I've sown the seed. My harvest is coming. And it's a harvest of blessing. And so if the enemy lies to you, and all you can see is a harvest of nothing, you need to get back to the good word of God. Believe it and get hope and faith for your future. Amen. Against all hope, in hope, Abraham believed. Now I'm going to finish in a minute. But But just think of Abraham after all the years. Every day he gets up, one day older, a little less strong, naturally speaking. Sarah kept looking at her going, there's no hope there. Sarah looked at Abraham, there's no hope there. We have no alternative, darling. We're going to have to trust God. And when there's no alternative, that's the best moment. God can kick in. And there is a word here in one of the translations. It says Abraham wasn't weakened in faith. He did not consider his own body. This is a really important word when you need to live in hope and faith. Consider. It's a really important word. Listen to this just for these last few minutes. He did not consider his own body. What does consider mean? First of all, to consider something means to suggest the value or weight of something. So if I consider the value of a ring, I am considering the value of it. So Abraham didn't consider there was any value in himself. But he said, the value I'm considering is in God and his good word. That's where I'm putting the weight, the value of what I'm believing. And secondly, consider means to look intently at or to analyze. If you start looking intently at yourself and all that you haven't been able to do and all that you haven't yet seen, your faith will run out so quick. And all anxiety will run straight back in. Because if you analyze yourself, it's like putting yourself under a microscope. Nothing good will happen. Corrie ten Boom said this, famous woman of God. She said, when I look at the world, I'm distressed. When I look at myself, I'm depressed. But when I look at Christ, I'm blessed. Amen. And that is the truth. To place your analysis on yourself is foolishness at best. Because we are to look intently to actually examine the word of God, the promise of God, the faithfulness of God. And as we do that, hope will be maintained during the years that you wait to see the harvest come. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, as you trust in him, as you believe the word of promise. For every situation and need and future thing, there is a word from God that you can sow. And as you believe, you will abound in hope. Overflow in hope. Come on, church, let's get the overflow. Let's live in the overflow. Because we are believing the good word. A good word will always make you glad when you believe it. Faith is always seen to be real when you're full of joy. Misery, sadness, down, weighed down, heavy, should show you, actually, where's my faith? I'm not trusting God then, am I? So I need to sow the good word, to believe it, and it will work effectively in me as I believe. Let's stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.